Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Challenge Free Agents Wrap-Up Podcast. Today, I'm flying solo, but my partner, Ali Lasha, will be back later this week to discuss this week's incoming episode. Today, though, I am talking about the latest episode with the person who was kicked off this week, that is Cajada. So we had a chance to talk about his time on free agents, including his relationship with Nani and his tough elimination loss to Leroy. So before I get to all that, let me just remind you, you can subscribe to the Challenge Free Agents Wrap-Up Pod on iTunes. That is at robhasawebsite.com/challengeiTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute. Follow my partner, Ali Lasher, at LashTweets. And be sure, once again, to check out our next edition, where it's just me and Ali talking about this week's The Challenge Free Agents episode later this week. All right, let me get straight to the person you really want to hear from, and that is Cajada. So, unfortunately, we had to say goodbye to you this week, but I think from all the response you've seen on Twitter that we all know that we would love to have you back again in the future. I think you really became a fan favorite this year.
Oh, thanks.
So before we jump into this season, I just wanted to get a handle on where you've been the past few seasons, because I know you haven't been on in a few seasons. So was that by choice, or did MTV kind of take a break from reaching out to you?
No, I got called for a bunch of shows, but I had a business, you know, that I was trying to get going, and a relationship, you know, and I just really didn't, it was in a place I couldn't really leave, you know, I couldn't really make time to do it. That's all kind of changed now. So it kind of, I guess growing up was overrated.
So, and then even going back to your Real World season, because, you know, you seem like such like a level-headed, normal person, and that's not really the type of person that MTV usually casts for these types of shows. So how did you even kind of stand out to MTV to be casted for your Real World season?
Probably because I think that, not to play this card, but I think that they looked for stereotypical people, you know, and you've got all these different party down south people and all this different, you know, they want the token, you know, southern guy, and they usually end up with some, you know, bro, shorty short wearing frat kid or something like that. And I think that I was probably the most hillbilly person they'd ever seen, probably in their life, legitimately, you know, kind of grew up way different than most people. And I guess the accent and everything kind of won them over. I don't know, I don't really feel like I'm like most folks on that show, but
no, definitely not.
I ask myself the same question a lot of times when I got cast to be on this. I don't really know, but It's been very enjoyable.
Yeah. So because, you know, you haven't been doing one of these in a while and there was such like a new group of people on this season, did you kind of feel like a rookie all over again, having to prove yourself to all these people that, you know, you may not have competed against in the past?
Not really. Most of them that I hadn't met before are just young, and they just probably view the experience in the show, I think, maybe a little different than I do. And they try to be, I think most people try to use the sneaky play the game or the game will play you approach more often than not, than up front, this is here, this is who I am, this is how I play, this is what I'm here to do kind of approach. And I feel like that's, you know, that kind of works for me, and I'm not real good at the so-and-so saying so-and-so about this guy and this guy and all that, you know, kind of politically playing things. Most people know where I stand. So when you approach it, you know, like that, I don't think I'm considered a rookie. I mean, the challenges that I've done, I've, you know, performed on, and the challenges that we had in that house, I performed well on. So people aren't blind, just because you're not making a big stink about everything. They see what happens at the challenges, and I think that in the end they didn't, I don't think they wanted to compete against me in the final, and I think that's why I kind of got ousted.
Yeah, I would think some of the challenges may have been geared more towards the bigger guys, but usually the final is geared towards someone like you. So I think even Zach saying even though Zach's probably three times the size of you, but I think it's fair for him to say that he'd be worried about going up against you in the final because of the endurance factor that finals usually have, and even sometimes they always have a puzzle or two. So I think a lot of people did view you as a threat in the long game, maybe not in the short term, but definitely in the long game. I think that's where people viewed you as a big threat.
Well, most people too, they don't take into account. All they see people watching the show is size and muscles and the gym, and they don't take into account actual athleticism. Really the only challenges we did that I performed under par or performed maybe not as well as those Zach or CT or those guys. Whatever that challenge was, where we had those huge beach balls around us, which I didn't perform poorly by any means, but I, probably wasn't the standout competitor of the challenge. But every other challenge we did, I felt like I could have went back through and did it again when a lot of people fail or, faltered to some extent or something like that. But if you're not up there on the platform screaming at somebody about something, a lot of times it doesn't make the actual show. So.
Unfortunately not. MTV loves their drama.
Right.
So you actually were involved in a side storyline apart from the challenges, and that was your relationship with Nani. So besides obviously the obvious physical attraction, what was kind of the thing that attracted you most to Nani that made you pursue her?
I think that we were both in a spot kind of where maybe we were looking for something different. And trying to, I don't know. I mean, I had just came out of a huge relationship, like a 5-year relationship, and I was fresh from that couple of months, pretty much. And I don't know. She was just totally opposite from kind of what I was used to, and it was almost kind of like a breath of fresh air. And I'm bad to get attached, anyways, and. More and more, spoke to her, and she just, I felt like she had she appreciated me, for who I was, and a lot of things that were underappreciated in the past. And actually, she kind of took stock in to some extent, and that was kind of nice, But I mean, at first, with any attraction, at first, it's an initial physical chemistry thing, and me and that girl have a physical chemistry that's really heady, I guess you could say. I never really had an attraction thing like that, with another girl, but we're different as night and day. We're totally polar opposites. But somehow, we never run out of stuff to talk about and manage to have a good time everywhere we go, and it's fun. So I don't really question things. Things are gonna happen, and they're meant to be, will happen, and if it's not, you can't go through your whole life, I don't think, not taking any risks or not really, opening up to anybody and worrying about getting hurt every day and things like that. It's a dull way to live. People are gonna hurt you, and you're gonna get hurt. But try to keep your guard up all your life. You'll live to regret it probably.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the things that kind of came between you two guys a little bit was Nani's hookup with Johnny. So we saw you two kind of hash things out, but did you ever talk to Johnny either in the house or maybe after the episode aired to kind of talk about what happened?
Me and Johnny are fine. We talked about all that stuff. I mean, it was made out to be like a, it was bad. It was wrong. Wasn't cool. She knows that. He knows that. And I've got apologies from both of them, which I really didn't even deserve. But I think that watching, I know what happened since, the beginning, but watching it, I feel like really made Nani look at herself in a different light or something like that. And I felt like she could stand back and see how she was kind of carrying herself on that show. And I think it bothered her. And I think she kind of confided in me about it. And I don't think that's, I think she views it as a mistake, it's not, I don't think it's any, in any way to anybody's fault or anything like that, because I mean, God knows, one night stands I've had my share of them. But I think that she's kind of outgrown that, mm-hmm. and you know, realizes it. And I don't think it's who she wants to be. And that's what she tells me. And you know, as long as anyone trying to self improve themselves or be a better person is something I completely support, and will, you know, will continue to until I get proved wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you can't say yet the status of you two, I guess, until after everything all clears up, but would you say that you two are in a good spot now? You're still talking a lot. How would you kind of describe where you are now, for as much as that you could say?
Yeah, we're in a good spot. I mean, I try to move forward with people often, regardless of if they, you know, how things ended or how anybody was treated. And I feel like if you, you know, just carry a bunch of bitterness around every day with you about things to anybody, it's just an unhealthy way to live. I'm big on compassion, you know, and forgiveness. And I think that it takes a way bigger person to, you know, either, you know, bow down if he's even say he's wrong, if he knows he's right. And it's almost like allowing somebody else to think they're right when you and everybody else knows that you're right. It's kind of like the ultimate high road, I guess. But with me and Nani, we're way past that. She's my little girl.
I'm sure a lot of people are happy to hear that. So looking just now at this specific episode, I thought the challenge this week was probably one of the better ones they've done, but unfortunately for you and Bananas and everyone else had to go up against the team of Zach and CT. So when you get into that challenge and you realize you're going up against them, how do you kind of keep yourself in a good mindset to think that you actually can beat these guys in this type of challenge?
Well, you got to take into consideration a lot of things. You know, you don't know who's going to run in there and get their head cracked and not really be a problem anymore. And you approach it from an intelligent point of view. You know, you don't drive a moped through a four-way stop with all the lights green or something like that and mm-hmm. expect to come out alive. So I wasn't just going to run in there and just get squashed in between, you know, Zach and CT and try to, you know, prove my manhood or something like that. So I think that me and Johnny just barely lost. I think that if we would have known from the beginning that it was going to be that, you know, come down to the wire like that, we could have strategized a little differently. But, you know, when you watch those girls go and Nani came out, she was almost dead. You know, you think, well, if the guys do the same thing, someone's going to the hospital. And if I have a broken femur, I'm definitely not running a final. So you got to kind of pick your battles. Mm-hmm. And that was something that, you know, wasn't worth letting your nuts hang out and going down there and just getting train wrecked by somebody. To me, I'd soon live fight another day.
Absolutely. And then on the bus ride home, we saw your name start to get floated around for potentially being thrown into elimination. But did you think that Nani did kind of all she could to persuade everyone else from maybe targeting Johnny, the rookies, for instance? Or was she kind of just in a no-win situation there?
I think that she knew that Johnny, you know, Johnny Riley had a pretty good little alliance, I feel like, going with CT and Zach. And Nani, you know, she knew that it was between me and Leroy, period.
Mm-hmm.
And she would push for me, but at the same time, her and Leroy are like best friends from their show, so she couldn't just really try to, you know, really kind of, not to say throw him under the bus, because I despise that, but that's kind of what it is, you know. Yeah. She couldn't just pull a Judah on him and you know, just kind of hand him over. So maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I think she was kind of in a tough spot, and you know, we definitely, me and her, weren't in the spot, you know, now then that we are now. I think if times were a little bit different, that she would have definitely raised a little bit more hell about it. But there was, you know, me and her had a lot of talks about it that weren't shown.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's her obligation to try to save me.
Right. Right. So that Boston connection, Johnny, CT, Zach, that was like a real strong alliance that they had going for them, that really there was no connection.
I think it was, and they never would really admit it on the show, but I mean it was kind of obvious that was kind of the direction they were pulling for in a final.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in the elimination, we had to go up against Leroy, and we could all see the wheels turning your head every single round about what you can do. So just looking back on it, was there any type of strategy that you thought, oh, if only I did that, that you think you could have beaten Leroy there?
I mean, to be 100% honest, I think that if I would have had that challenge or that elimination with Leroy maybe 2 weeks in, it would have been different. But I feel like that as the challenge went on, you know, and things just, it kept going and going and going and going. And it's almost like you kind of check yourself out kind of from sometimes in the game. And I don't think that going into that, I don't think I was in the right mindset. And I don't think, I mean, I wasn't aware at the time that I wasn't at 100%. But after watching the episode and just looking at the look on my face and stuff like that, I felt like that I was lagging probably. Mm. And, you know, I guess, I don't know. I've went over it in my head 1,000 times, and if it happened right now, the same exact thing might happen, but it's just hard in that sand to get any traction. I mean, you can't do anything, and then it's just frustrating, you know, when you don't have any leverage whatsoever because you're just sliding around, and then frustration sets in, and that just kind of throws your game off and gets to a point when you're just like, I don't know what the hell. You know, it's like if I got in my truck and hitched the rope at the front of it and you grab the other end, I said, let's play tug of war till you win. It would be frustrating for you in the end. Yeah, you know? You'd be like, man, yeah. What the hell do I do now? You know, so.
Yeah. Was it frustrating for you just in general of all the eliminations, maybe outside of this wall climbing, that it was really just like a pure just size contest, like bigger, stronger guys have a clear advantage in those other ones? So was that kind of frustrating for you when normally in the past, you know, we've seen more endurance strategy type eliminations?
No, I mean, I don't like to make excuses about anything. You know, I know that I'm small going into these things, and Zach knows he's big going into these things, and Zach's not going to walk his ass out on that rolling log that I walked across, you know, and he don't want to go against me climbing a sheetrock wall. But at the same time, I know that if I had to run around a circle and hit Zach in lacrosse pads, it's not going to feel good. So you win some, you lose some, you know, and like I said, you can't really knock a home run every day. So I'm not going to make excuses or say this or that, or, you know, it was because of this, or it's because I'm small, or it was because, you know, because whatever. I'll try to carry my weight the best I can. But I think that I do feel like that the more even kilter they can get those eliminations, the better show it makes, you know, because I feel like a lot of times when people see those lopsided competitions, you know, they kind of see an outcome before the outcome actually happens. It really doesn't give a chance for that underdog story to play out the way that production wants it to.
Right.
But it's hard, you know, after you've had, a gazillion seasons of challenge, you've had every elimination on demand, you know, your think tank starts to dry up. So,
yep.
I guess they got their work cut out for them.
Yes, they do. And so one of the other big storylines from this season was the fight between Laurel and Cara Maria. And I thought you kind of summarized it best when you said that Laurel can't be vulnerable long enough to even just take advice on how to best handle it. So what was your take on how this fight escalated to the point of Laurel openly rooting against Cara in her elimination?
I mean, Laurel was probably wrong. But at the same time, Cara Maria was probably whiny, you know, and the problem was it was to me, I don't really understand, you know, it looked to me like Laurel told Cara Maria she was an option to get voted in, and then when in an interview, Laurel said,
Laurel said to Carmaria, "You're not going to get voted in. Quit freaking out." Well, she was freaking out because you just told her that it was possible for her. Right. So it would be like Isaac coming to me and going, "Hey, man, what can you do for me in this show so I don't vote you in?" I would say, "Kiss my ass. You're not going to vote me in because you're going to be at my wedding one day."
Right.
So I kind of feel like that's the way Carmaria felt. And if Laurel would have just said what she said in an interview to Carmaria's face, it would have fixed the whole problem. But there's such an amount of, you know, I feel like one thing that a lot of these kids don't understand, and I'm not saying kids like I'm Yoda or something like that, but they think that ego and self-image and pride is a good thing. And I don't think it is at all. Yeah. I mean, I think integrity is a good thing. I think truth and values are good things. But I think when you're full of your ego and your pride and how you're going to look, you're just backing up and trying to have any kind of relationship with anyone, friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. You got to get past that shit. And if they would have just done that and not had some standoff, like, it was just stupid. I'm not going to say something until she says something. It's like, well, then neither one of you are worth having as friends to each other. Mm-hmm. You have a worthless friendship if that's what it boils down to. And they just, I feel like they just didn't understand that. And still to this day, I think that their friendship is nothing. It's maybe 30% of what it was at one time just because they were proud. They were too proud to be honest with each other. And that's what happens. And they'll, you know, it's just a very avoidable situation. And they now they have bitterness toward each other for no good reason.
So just based on that pride comment, I have to imagine that you would fall in the stupid side of the argument about whether Jordan made the right decision to go up against Bananas in his elimination, correct?
Well, I have, you know, my opinions on that are Jordan didn't want to do that. You know, Jordan didn't want to pull that move, and Jordan knew in his head before anybody mentioned it that he could go up there and pull all three of those cards. But he knew if he voiced it out loud, then it would be an obligation for him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then Zach said something about it. So then it had been put out there. And then the idea was Jordan was going to do this, you know, and he kept saying, you know, he's like, "I want Laurel to tell me not to do this," because he didn't want to do it.
Yep.
Because he knew he could go home and lose a shitload of money, you know. But it wasn't worth him going, "Actually, you know, this is a dumb idea, and I will try to stay and finish this game." You know, it wasn't worth as much as him saying, "Well, I said I'll do it, so I'm going to do it." You know, and the only reason you said you would do it is because, you know, you would have felt like a puss if you didn't do it,
mm-hmm.
which is a total wrong reason to do anything. You know, but he chops it up as my pride and integrity is not worth $125,000, and those are just two different things. One's a bad thing and one's a good thing, you know. And you know, the only person that benefited from Jordan going in there and doing that is Jordan. That's not integrity. Integrity is when you do something and someone else benefits from it and you don't.
Right.
And you still do it, you know. So I feel like the usage of these words just kind of get thrown around all willy-nilly. And just because it sounds good on camera or something, but pride is something you do for yourself. He went in there for himself, and that was it.
Mm.
And he lost, and now he has less money for himself.
Yes, he does. So now that you've gotten your taste of the challenge again, do you anticipate doing maybe the next one, the next couple ones? Are you going to be right back at it?
If they had me back, you know, I wouldn't mind. It's just that I feel like that, you know, after this challenge, I feel like there's probably a decent chance, you know, that I will get a call for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you know, the last one I trained for like 30 days or something like that for. But this next one, I mean, I'm in pretty consistent shape now, so I would, you know, going into 30 to 40 days before the actual show, you know, I would already be starting from a standpoint of ready to compete. So I could just kind of build on top of that. And for me, at my size and stuff, I'm going to go in there just in extremely good condition. Which I was in pretty good shape on Free Agents, but I wasn't in a good shape then as I am now. And I think with, you know, 2 months down the road, I'll be in extremely better shape than I am now. So yeah, I would do, I don't have anything standing in my way or keeping me from traveling and, you know, experiencing competition and, you know, that kind of, that life in general. And, I would definitely probably do the next one that comes around.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We're all very excited to have you back in the challenge community. We missed you over the years, so we're glad to have you back. So I know you're still pretty heavily involved in your band Radio Lucent, right? What can you tell us about that?
We are we actually had a show last Saturday that I had a film crew come in, and we're actually shooting a video to launch a Kickstarter campaign for this follow-up album. We're working on right now, but it'll probably record and we'll probably go through September. We'll be launching the Kickstarter, should be sometime in July. So yeah, any help I can get on that front, since I didn't win $125,000. It's not expensive to make music the way Led Zeppelin made music, or it's not cheap, just cost. So that's good. You know, this follow-up album is going to be, it's going to be kind of a fresh face for the band. And I'm kind of excited about the new material, and we've been working real hard on it. So y'all keep your eyes out for this Kickstarter link, Spread the Wealth.
Well, dude, where can everyone find you on Twitter and your band's information? Where can everyone find out
about it? My Twitter is at Cahutta MTV. The Twitter handle for the band is at @the_Lucent, LUCENT. You know, on Instagram, I'm at Cahuddly MTV, and they're at Radio Lucent. Like our Facebook page, hang out with us, watch some videos. It's good stuff, you know, good actual rock and roll.
Absolutely. All right. It was very great talking to you, Cahutta. Looking forward to seeing you in the future.
And I appreciate it, brother. Take it easy.
You too. Bye.